Want to greet you this morning in the precious name of Jesus. Now, sometimes we preach and we get up here and we're all excited about what we're sharing. This morning I'm looking at a subject that I just about backed out on. I don't like talking about anger. So I ask for your prayers this morning. It's already been mentioned about the crisis in Ukraine right now. And our hearts go out to those that are suffering unjustly. We're thinking about those that are still back in Russia that don't agree with their president, that are suffering unjustly. All of us would agree that war is horrible. We hate war. And the result of hating war like that, if we really get down deep and we start realizing what's deep within us, we find that we have anger against the war. Maybe we go beyond anger at the war. Maybe we go to the point where we are angry at the people. Anger is an emotion that God has given us. Now, I know this can be controversial to you this morning, but I ask that you hear me out. I am barely touching the surface this morning. There is so much in Scripture about anger. There's Scripture about good anger, and there's Scripture about bad anger. We're going to touch a little bit on both of those this morning. War is devastating. It is horrible. And if you look at the news, anything you see, and you, like Dana said, it's hard to believe, hard to know what to believe, but we do know that there is so much going on right now. My late teens into my early 20s, I realized that I have a situation in my life that I need to work with. Anger. We got married. And as we had children, I realized I still have a situation I need to deal with called anger. And the fact this morning is that I don't think my life is any different than yours. Most of us have a situation in our lives, we would like to not call it anger. But if we start looking real deep within ourselves, it's probably there or has been there. And I don't say that to point fingers at you, but we're human, aren't we? We have that within us. Turn in your Bibles this morning to Genesis 4. And while you're turning there, I'm going to tell you a little story. And I want to tell you a story about Ralph and Lucy. Ralph and Lucy were a young couple. They got married. They had a wonderful relationship. They had two children in the home at this point. One was about 2 years old, the other was 3 months old. Ralph had a good job. He would come home from work, spend time with his wife, spend time with the children. Life was good. One day Ralph came home and he told Lucy, he said, "The guys at the office are going to the gym. They've invited me, so I signed up." And he said, "I am now going to start Monday, Wednesday, and Friday evening. I'm going to spend my evenings at the gym. Feel like I need to get a little fit." You're probably thinking, yeah, Lynn needs to get a little fit too. We can all use some of that, can't we? "I'm going to start spending my evenings at the gym." And so Monday showed up, and Ralph went to the gym. Wednesday showed up, and Ralph went to the gym. Friday showed up, Ralph went to the gym. Lucy was still at home. She had the two children. She spent all day caring for the two children, making sure they were fed, cared for. And she was very picky about keeping the house clean for her husband. and making sure that there's food on the table when he comes home. But something began building within Lucy. She didn't share with Ralph, but she started to miss his companionship evenings. The kids started missing Dad. Ralph had no clue. Us men can be a little dumb sometimes. Ralph had no clue. He was enjoying himself because he was with his buddies and he was getting fit. He was getting fit because he wanted his wife to see him as a man that is fit, but he also wanted association with his buddies at work. At the expense of his wife and children. As time went on, Lucy became angry with her children. She began to yell at her two-year-old. And one day she actually picked up her three-month-old and she shook him. Lucy ended up going to a counselor to see what can I do. Let's go to another story. Here we have Bob. Bob is an elder at the church. One day Bob shows up at the counselor's door. And as he walks in, the counselor looks down and he notices Bob only has one shoe on. The other foot is wrapped with a cast. We have two ladies here this morning. I asked permission for this. Two ladies here this morning with casts, and we're not going to ask them if that comes from anger, but I'm pretty sure it doesn't. Ralph had a cast on his foot. Or not Ralph, Bob, elder at the church. He walked into the counselor, and he said, I need help. I need to share with you my associates, those at church cannot know what happened. I was working on a piece of my equipment, and as I was working, things just happened. And I kicked that piece of equipment, and I broke my foot. I need help. What am I going to tell my church family? I'm an elder. I can't tell them that I have anger in my heart. Genesis 4. We just came through the part where Adam and Eve had to leave the garden. And now we have Adam and Eve wanting to start a family. Verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was the keeper of the sheep, but Cain was the tiller of the ground. Here we have the two first children that we know of in Scripture. Cain and Abel. Cain the oldest, Abel the next. Cain took care of the ground. Abel took care of the sheep. Both were farmers. One took care of the sheep. The sheep provided meat for them, probably milk, and probably clothes, I would guess. The guy that did the farming, or did the grain, he provided food for the sheep, and possibly for them to eat also. So they all needed each other. So we have the two brothers here working together. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth and his countenance fell. Very simply put, Cain became very angry. What was the difference here in the offerings? We could debate on that, but I think, because of the next couple of verses, let's just read them. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, thou shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. I believe Cain had sin in his life. I don't think it was the offering, but I believe it was sin in his life. It was what was in his heart as he presented his offering. Because if you go back to Hebrews, chapter 11, you notice where it talks about Abel. He came with faith. We don't see that here in Cain's life. Let's go to verse 8. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Now we have murder. Where did it start? It started with jealousy, the way I see it. It became anger. And because of this anger in his heart, the first two brothers had murder in their family. anger is nothing new. I'd like to read a couple of verses out of James. You don't have to turn to this, but James says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to," what's the next word? Wrath. Slow to wrath, slow to anger. For the anger of man, the wrath of man, worketh not the righteousness of God. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires within us. That word wrath has the idea of anger, indignation, or vengeance. So when I become angry because of something that's within my heart, something selfish, I cannot please God. Ecclesiastes 7:9 says, "Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools." Simply put, don't move quickly to become angry. Think things through. Stop. Count to 50 if you need to. Take time to think about your actions before you play them out. All of us can probably look back into our lives at some point where we responded out of anger and we wanted so bad to go back and just take it back, but it was already done. Think before we act. I remember years ago when I was living in Phoenix, I used to help a teen challenge a bit, and every Saturday morning we would go in there and we would take buses out and we'd pick up kids and we'd bring them in, similar to the kids club. The house would fill up. We had about 200 kids, I think. One weekend we were doing a fun thing for the kids. We set up tents and we spent time with those that came in. We were giving out, I'm not sure, prizes or something. And so we tore down. This was a Friday night. We tore down and we put everything into a corner of the building. Garbage cans, tents, everything together for the next morning. We're going to take them right back out and set things back up again. I helped tear down. As I tore down, I took a little, can't think what it's called. A short extension cord that has a whole bunch of outlets on it. A power strip. Thank you. I took that and I put it into one of the trash cans and I stuck it right in with everything else. The next morning, one of the men that was in charge of Teen Challenge came out to me and very, very rudely berated me for putting that into that trash can. I responded in a way I shouldn't have responded. I didn't get angry at him, but I allowed it to offend me to the point where I quit helping with Teen Challenge. He exploded with anger, and I quit. Am I pointing fingers at him? No. But I believe it's good for us to realize what happens when we have an explosive anger issue. Others get hurt. Something for us to think about. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, again, is a book, a chapter that is just loaded. We could spend many, many mornings on this chapter. But there's a verse in here that we quote, and I want us to get a little bit of the picture of the background of how this verse comes into play here. We're going to read, beginning in verse 17 of Ephesians 4, verse 17. Here he had given us a picture of what it is, the gifts that God gives, and it was all for the idea of the functioning of the church. Then he says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness." He's saying here, these people are a people that have given themselves over to lustful pleasures. That's what they're after. But he tells them here, he says, that's not you. That's not what you've learned. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Remember the verse out of Romans 12, verse 2, where he talks about being transformed, having a renewed mind, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. It says, now that you have been changed, now that you have a brand new heart, there are some things, different things that you need to put off, different ways you need to live. 25, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Excuse me. In verse 26, he says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. So let's think about this verse for a bit. There are things to put off since we're the new man. There are things to put on. But he says, here's something I want you to consider. Be ye angry and sin not. Not chewed on that verse for a long time. What is he trying to tell us? And maybe you see something different than I do. But I see that verse as teaching us that God has given us the emotion of anger. It's there for a reason. But do not allow the emotion of anger to cause you to sin. Do not allow the emotion of anger to cause you to sin. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Deal with it. Take care of the anger issue that's in your heart. If something happens between you and another, deal with it quickly. If you don't, what happens? Verse 27, neither give place to the devil. And that's simple. If we don't deal with the anger that's in our heart between us and another, between us and God, it opens the door for Satan to get a foot inside. Very simple. We have a door here. And if I don't want anybody coming in or going out, I'm going to keep that door shut. But if I go down and I open the door and I put my foot into it, it's open. Now somebody can come and they can come in and out. Sometimes we do that with Satan. We really don't want him in our lives, but we're not quite willing to go all the way. So we make so he can get a foot inside. And before we know it, he's inside. Deal with your anger quickly. Don't hang on to it. Don't give any place to the devil. Now, these are all negative things about anger. I want us to take a look at the positive view of anger in our lives. And this is where some people come to question, but please hear me out on this. There is a positive view of anger when it is used correctly. Let's go back to the war that's happening right now. My wife is telling me about some of the train stations where the Ukrainians are coming out and they're going into another country. And there are people at the train stations with signs that are saying, we have room for two, we have room for five, we have room for however many. Come home with us. There are boxes there with toothpaste and different items that they need for cleanliness. Why are they there? Yes, it's because of love. But it's also because of an anger against the war. They're responding to what is happening. This is not an anger against people, but it's an anger against the atrocities that are happening towards these people. Let's look at another instance where anger created something positive. Candace Leitner was a lady that had a 13-year-old daughter that was killed in an accident by a drunk driver. The drunk driver basically got a slap on the wrist and was set free. This angered Candace. So she went about putting together a program called Mothers Against Drunk Driving. You've probably all heard about that.
And because of this program, which was formed in May of 1980, it grew. There were a lot of people that had that anger within themselves. Something has to happen. So as the people came in, they began to fund money to her. And at this point, they're saying the issues with drunk driving since 1980 have been cut in half. Now, I didn't go back and research that. This is what the article had to say. But Candace used that anger that was within her against what happened to create something to bring about change. Are you following where I'm going with the good anger? Not an anger against somebody. But should we say maybe an emotion that causes us to do something to create change for positive? That's what I'm trying to get across. Candace made a difference in the life of many. Yes, her daughter died, but she took that and she used it for something good. Many times our anger is not positive, which we talked about. We want to retaliate. We want to isolate. And we talked about somebody being hurt because of our angry actions. There's a verse in Psalm 7, verse 11. And I dealt with this one this week with the idea that God does not get angry. God is a God of love. Does God get angry? I see some nodding. Psalm 7:11 says this, God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. So look at the word angry there. He's angry. That's what it means. Why is God angry at the wicked every day? Because he is a holy God. Yes, he's a God of judgment. He's a God of love, but he's a God of judgment. He can't tolerate sin. If you go back and look at the book of Jeremiah, he told him to tell the children of Israel, I will back off of my anger if you come back. But basically what he's saying, I'm going to hang on to my anger unless you come back. You have a choice because he will not tolerate sin. God is a God of love, a God of holiness, and he cannot tolerate sin. We see Jesus coming into the temple. And he became angry. But think about this. He didn't come in and blow up. What did he do that tells us that he thought this through before he acted? I know there's two different accounts. It may be the same, it may be different. It says he formed a whip. I don't know what all was going through his mind at that time. But Jesus didn't explode in anger. I believe as he was creating that whip, he thought, maybe he prayed for the people. Why did he become angry there? Let me read here in John 2, verse 15. When he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. And this is what he told them. He said, take these things hence. Make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. If we go to John, it says, you've made this a den of thieves. What was happening? They were coming in, people that traveled from distance, and they were buying things for their sacrifice, and they were being ripped off. They were being overcharged. Those that were poor came in to buy a dove or two, and they were being overcharged. He said, you've made my house, my Father's house, a house of thievery. You dishonored my Father's name. That was a righteous anger. Let me ask you this question. When I see the name of God put on display in a dishonorable way, what will I do, or how can I bring about change to bring him glory? Or let me ask this question with this. Am I okay to sit idly by and watch his name be shamed? So look out across the crowd this morning. I see smiles. I see questionable faces. But I'm guessing I can be very safe in saying that we have nobody here this morning that has ever killed somebody. Turn to Matthew 5. And Dana, I don't want to trample on an area where you're sharing, but I think there's plenty in Matthew that there's room for me to use part of this. Excuse me, Matthew 5, verse 21. Says, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. That's the sixth commandment, by the way. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. So now it's no longer killing, it's just anger. Whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. What does that word mean? Just to put it very bluntly, it means idiot. It means stupid. It means brainless. So if I want to call somebody an idiot, I'll call somebody stupid or brainless or that type of a thing is the same as what he's saying here. Whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hell fire. And as I read through this, of course, in our righteous thinking, we would never kill somebody. But if I were to ask you this morning to raise your hand, and I'm not going to, how many hands would go up? According to this scripture, we'd be murderers. Mine would. Let's go back to the story of the husband and wife. He's been going to the gym 3 days a week. And let's look at something really simple. We need some answers this morning. And I want to just give out something very simple. When we begin to have anger building up within us, regardless of the reason, if there's something that's between us and a brother or a sister, husband and wife, kids, but if there's some kind of an anger issue that's happening within us, for the wife in this situation, talking to her husband, asking, would you sit down with me? I've got something I need to share. I have some feelings. Not in a condemning way, but just sitting down and sharing with her husband and telling him the pain that this is creating, the difficulty that this is creating. And I've got a feeling the husband is going to say, I had no clue. I'll be glad to give up going to the gym to be with you. Her tone of voice is going to be very important. She's not looking to hand out blame or labeling, but she's looking to find peace in her marriage because she loves her husband and she knows he loves her. This goes for all of us in every situation that we have. This is just simple stuff. I'm not trying to give you anything profound this morning. But we can all sit down with a brother or sister and gently share. This hurts. Do you understand? And I believe a lot of issues can be taken care of by doing this. I'd like to close by going to, and you know what, I forgot to bring my other Bible. So, Vonda, can I have my phone back again? Or actually, let me have your New Living, if that's okay. Thank you. I'd like for you to stand this morning, and I'm going to read Colossians 3 in the New Living. I don't want you to open your Bibles and follow along. I'd like for you instead just to think as I read this scripture. Maybe I'll have to find it here first. Hang on. And I'd like for you to think about, as I read this scripture, who we are in Christ. He doesn't want to leave us stuck. in anger, in any other kind of sin. He's provided a way for us. I want us to leave this morning knowing that this is not a dead end. If it's a struggle that we're having in our life, He's got answers. None of us have to continue in this. Listen carefully as I read. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your thoughts on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of the earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in His glory. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all us, all of us. Since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults, and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ, in all its richness, fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom He gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatsoever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. I don't know where this finds you this morning, but as I studied and as I looked at this subject, I had to repent. Because there's areas in my life that anger is still prevalent. It's still there. So I had to repent. And I'm guessing I'll have to keep repenting. But my goal is to walk in a way that my worldly anger disappears. But if I have an anger that needs me to create change, I want to do what I can with that also. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray? God, we thank You that Your Word is alive, it's real. Lord, sometimes we aren't so sure how to walk. We're not so sure, Lord, of our motives. And we thank You that Your Word clarifies that. Lord, I pray for each one here this morning, including myself. Father, we've got struggles, and anger is often one of them. Lord, I pray that You would cleanse our hearts, and as we struggle, Lord, that we would bring it to You. And Father, that we would not have a fear or a shame of seeking out a brother or sister and working through issues so there's peace in the body. We bless You. We thank You again for dying for us, and given us a life that is free and an inheritance that is beyond anything we can imagine. Lord, we bless you. Dismiss us with your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.